Predator poachers are going around the country catching creeps looking to hurt children. They go after the worst of the worst, but one police department made them wait over 5 hours for an arrest that they actually never even made in the first place. Alex Rosen joins us to discuss. Congressman Michael Gallagher has betrayed the country after he refused to step down before April 19th. He doesn't want Wisconsins to have a replacement in the House, of course. Johnson Josney joins us. Chick-fil-A is ditching their commitment to no antibiotic chicken. J.D. Rucker is joining us to react. We're about to be... All that and more on the Brianna Morello Show. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're so happy you guys could join us. Thank you, of course, for being with us tonight. There's so much to unpack. We have so many guests coming up on our show for you guys today. You're going to be blown away. But first, let's go through the headlines. I think there's a lot that you guys need to know. And first up was news that we woke up to this morning, and it comes to us from Baltimore. It was that bridge collapsing in Baltimore. Now, the story is just extremely heartbreaking. It looks like a shipping cargo ship hit this bridge, and that's what caused it to topple and collapse. It looks like they're still searching for 6 individuals, sadly. Heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. But I mean, there's so much to go through here. I know a lot of people are watching this footage wondering why this would even take place. It's the United States of America. We should have infrastructure that could, you know, surpass survive a boat hitting it. It just seems very, very strange. And well, it might not be. So let's go to this tweet that Lara Logan posted, because I really think this is interesting. So Lara Logan says that according to multiple intel sources, the Baltimore Bridge collapse was absolutely a brilliant strategic attack on U.S. critical infrastructures. So ultimately, she's saying that this is possibly an attack, a cyber attack. And what makes it even more interesting is if you see the video from the start to finish, the ship actually lost power. So there is potential for just that. Now, who would be behind it? There's obviously always multiple people you could say they're behind it. But for it to happen at 1:30 a.m. Eastern time seems a little not well planned, is what I'd have to say. So we will see how this plays out right now. There's not much that we know. Joe Biden actually stood in front of the cameras today and said that the federal government will be paying to rebuild that bridge. And by the federal government, he means you guys. So there's so much to go through with that. Of course, Joe Biden doesn't even, I mean, he even said it was a train at one point, not a boat. So don't take his word for it, of course. Now, yesterday, everyone was going crazy for this story. P. Diddy, also known as Diddy, is apparently a wanted man. And well, it's a bizarre story, mainly just because not many people I know were expecting this. So Diddy had both of his homes in LA and Miami raided yesterday by, this is where it gets strange, DHS, not the FBI, but DHS. And it's all, of course, there's an investigation going into him, and some are saying it's a sex trafficking investigation. But here's how this all came about. His ex-girlfriend, Cassie, who's an R&B singer who was signed to Bad Boy, just a couple of months ago in the state of New York, filed a lawsuit. Now, she was able to file that lawsuit because this might sound familiar to you folks. That law that was manipulated to give an insane amount of time for anyone who claimed that they were sexually assaulted to file civil lawsuits. Remember that? That was that law that New York Democrats pushed forward so that Carol Jean, or whatever the woman's name is, the sexual assault victim who claimed that President Trump raped her, could move forward and file a civil lawsuit against the former president. Well, it's backfired on several men, several high-profile men, and Diddy's one of them. So immediately after his ex-girlfriend Cassie filed that lawsuit, the next day, he allegedly settled that lawsuit. And of course, if you ever spoke it to an attorney, they would say, don't do things like that, because that's going to bring out all the hounds, and it has so far. Total has been about 5 different lawsuits that have been piled up against him. And one of them has to do with a man who accuses Diddy of a lot of egregious things. And so it was just interesting to see all this take place. Now, yesterday, there were reports online that Diddy was fleeing in his private jet. They said he flew from, I believe it was LA to Miami. And then from Miami, he was heading over to the Caribbean. It's all bizarre, mainly because DHS met up with him when he was in that private airport in Miami. And, well, they took his cell phone devices. They did take all those from him, but they allowed him to go. And that's what's so strange about all of this. So there's a lot of questions than answers going on right now. And I, as somebody who's from New York and has friends who have worked for him and interned for him, they have never had any type of suspicions of any type of sex trafficking or any type of sexual abuse by Diddy during their time there. And again, folks, they were interns in high school. So yes, they were able to legally work for him, but they never experienced any of this. And this was just beyond strange. So again, folks, I don't know what to make of it. I haven't seen a lick of evidence. I haven't seen anything come forward. And so before we all jump on this ship and say, hey, something's going on here, I would say just to hold back. I don't think that this is something that we should all be jumping on for. We know that with President Donald Trump, they used this law to push forward, harass him. There was no evidence. Of course, now the corporate media says that he sexually assaulted that crazy woman. So my point is this. It's the same law that's being used against Diddy. It's got 5 lawsuits piling up against him, and we haven't seen any proof. So hold your breath a little bit longer and wait until we see evidence. Give people the presumption of innocence until proven guilty in this country. We all deserve it. We all advocated for President Trump when he was accused of crimes, and we all know that he's innocent. But again, folks, we've got to be a little bit more reserved on this issue. Now let's jump over to something that happened over in the UK today. Julian Assange was actually granted limited permission to appeal his extradition to the United States. Now this was their last ditch effort. His wife was actually on, Stella was on Twitter today saying that this is it. Their case today is it. There's no other battle that they could fight in the UK right now. And so this is a little refreshing now that he does have this granted limited permission to appeal, again, the extradition. Now, Julian Assange is not an American citizen, folks. He is not from our country, and yet our government is going after him for, as they say, revealing secrets of the CIA and exposing just the awful things our government has done. And they are going after him. And I mean, if he does get extradited to the United States, they will probably kill him. There's no doubting in that. So I am extremely concerned for this man. I don't think he should be prosecuted. I strongly believe he should not be prosecuted. I strongly believe that one of the greatest mistakes President Donald Trump made was not pardoning this man and telling the DOJ to back off and telling Mike Pompeo not to try to kill him. I mean, that report was just mind-blowing to me. So, folks, a little bit of hope we have right now for Julian Assange. Again, journalists should not be in prison for doing excellent work. They should be celebrated, and that is exactly what we should be doing right now. I want to move over to another story because we talked about it briefly on this show. As many of you know, we did a whole segment last week on this, and it's that there's a measles outbreak and it's going on around the country. Now, this article, I feel like we have to highlight because again, folks, it's the corporate media telling you what I've told you forever, but they're leaving out critical pieces of information. They're telling you within the first 3 months of 2024 that we actually have more measles cases than we had all of last year. Now, that's extremely alarming for most of you, I guess I would say, because, well, measles is supposedly an eradicated disease. So how the heck is it ending up in, so far confirmed, 64 measles cases in Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minneapolis, Missouri, New Jersey, New York City, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Washington? Well, folks, those are a lot of the states that are getting an influx of illegal aliens. And they don't want to tell you that. You could go through this whole article and they're going to tell you that all of the symptoms, everything that has to do with measles, but they're not going to tell you who's bringing measles into the U.S. And it's, of course, those coming from third world countries where, well, they have not vaccinated their population. And, well, now they are bringing their measles to us. Now, I'm not here to push vaccines. I criticized yesterday or last week the CDC for doing so because that's what they were using this new outbreak for, of course. But the reason why I'm mentioning is because, well, if we've eradicated measles here in the United States, young people, young kids wouldn't have to get the measles vaccine. And so the CDC is now using this as an opportunity to tell parents to get their kids the measles vaccine. And well, that's deeply concerning. But again, that entire article that's up right now on USA Today, is not being transparent with the American people because they are not telling you who is bringing measles into the United States, of course. So Well, so that's another reason why you guys don't listen and watch the corporate media. You pay attention to our show here, because I won't lie to you. I'm going to shoot straight with you guys. And I'm going to tell you, illegals are bringing in measles and tuberculosis into the United States. And those are your headlines for today. And guess what, folks? We've got so much more to unpack. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you stop what you're doing right now and you hit that subscribe button. You can do so on Rumble and YouTube. And if you're listening on any of our popular podcasting platforms like Spotify or iTunes, make sure you guys give us a 5-star review. And well, we love hearing from you. So if you're on any of those platforms right now, drop us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. And if you'd like to support our show, you guys can now do so. We've made a direct website for you to do so. It goes straight to us. So you can head over to supportbree.com. That's supportbree.com. You can make a one-time donation, or if you'd like, you become a monthly donor and you can pick any dollar amount you like. Again, folks, I left the corporate media world to bring you the same kind of content that you should be getting from them: truthful, transparent, fact-checking, to this independent platform. And we're only able to do it, of course, because of people like you, because you are supporting our program. So again, if you want to help me and my staff keep us going, head over to supportbree.com right now. We'll be right back with more. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. Now, you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. It's mind-blowing that more people aren't talking about what happened last week. In court last week, the FDA was told by a judge that they have to remove all of their lies off of their social media page. Their lies about ivermectin, of course, many of you remember that, when they told Americans and they tried to mislead them thinking that ivermectin is something that's only used on animals. Well, of course it's not. We've been using it on humans for decades. And we know this because, well, there was a Nobel Peace Prize given because of it. And they lied to the American people. So now they have to remove all those posts. And they even tried to get doctors like Peter McCullough canceled for all of this. It was completely disgusting. Obviously, many of you are well aware of it. But, well, you're probably also sitting here wondering, well, how do you even get ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine? Because a lot of these doctors weren't giving you guys prescriptions for it. But don't worry, I've got you covered. Keep listening. I told you guys before, Americans are waking up and understanding that now more than ever, we need to take advantage of all of this and have life-saving medications on hand. And well, there's a way to do so. The wellness company has a contingent emergency kit. And well, this is something that you're all going to want to have right now in your home. It's the only kind of prescription emergency kit that provides you with, honestly, essentials when it comes to respiratory and COVID illnesses. So you're going to want this, folks, because again, it comes with ivermectin. It comes with hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, a nebulizer, and so much more. It's also going to give you a guidebook to kind of walk you through all of these really, really important steps on how to use all of these resources. And you're seeing right now on your screen just all of these items that come inside of this kit. It's truly just amazing. And again, folks, this isn't just something that we're telling you right now. Dr. Peter McCullough, obviously, who's a highly respected cardiologist, and Dr. Harvey Rich, they've all backed this with extensive research. And well, they're telling everyone the wellness company's contingent emergency kit is something that you must have. So avoid the chaos waiting for the, you know, getting into a hospital if you do get sick and all the high prices you're going to have to pay. Get ahead of it right now. You got to head over to twc.health/Brianna. That's twc.health/Brianna, and grab your kit right now. And folks, just for listening to today's show, they're going to give you an awesome deal. If you use the promo code Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A, you're going to save $30 on your order. And you're also going to get free shipping as well, folks. So now is the time to stock up and be prepared. So again, folks, it's twc.health/Brianna. And of course, these kits are only available here in the US. So please, please take advantage of it right now and use promo code Brianna to secure up to $30 off plus free shipping. Congressman Michael Gallagher has been getting under my skin lately. And it's because, well, he's been treasonous. There's no other way to phrase this, guys. What he has been doing has been just disgusting to what's going on in this country right now. He announced that he's no longer seeking re-election. And then he also announced just last week that he's resigning and he's leaving on April 19th. Now, spoke about it here on the show. April 19th is a really key date because ultimately what is he doing? Well, he's trying to avoid his seat being filled before November. So by stepping down after April 19th, what happens now is people of Wisconsin are going to be without a representative right now because, well, that's just how things work. And so what's going to happen? Well, that's an empty seat. And we spoke about it before as well. You guys know there's a very thin majority that House Republicans have right now. And Michael Gallagher is literally giving the middle finger to Americans by doing this. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene's been very aggressive. She wants to expel him, and rightfully so. But again, folks, like I mentioned, the numbers have been declining for House Republicans. They had a thin majority back in 2022. But I mean, we've seen people like Ken Buck, Bill Johnson, Kevin McCarthy, all of these individuals have stepped down. And then you guys remember the push when they pushed George Santos out of his seat. He was actually replaced with a Democrat. And they told you, well, it's because of the allegations he was facing, of course, but we all know what they were trying to do. Democrats stick with their own and Republicans throw their own under the bus. And so now we have a razor thin majority right now in the House. I want to bring in somebody who has experience working with Congressman Gallagher. Let's bring in John Zadrozny with America First Legal. John, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate your time. Now, I wanted to talk to you specifically because I've dealt with him while I was working over at Fox. He was very aggressive on getting, not like in a bad way, but wanting to connect with Maria Bartiromo and getting onto her Sunday show. And I had no problem bridging that to make that happen for him because he was a shark when it came to China. He wanted to go after the CCP. But things have changed drastically. So, John, is this the same guy you recognize from the person you once worked with?
Hey, Brianna, thank you so much for having me on. The short answer is not exactly. I mean, I think I had the privilege of getting to know Mike when he was just Mike, not Representative Gallagher from the Wisconsin 8th. He was he has military background, thanks to him for his service. And he was a smart guy. He was pretty astute when it came to policy issues. And I would never have considered him to be anything other than a conservative. I wonder sometimes if these offices just go to people's heads and they just start to think that they're some sort of lizard king and they're always in charge of things. What's really disappointing is, it's like you said, Brianna, like we don't really have a political party in the way the left has Democrat Party. I always joke with people that the Democrat Party is basically like the Borg from Star Trek. It's like a collective hive mind. They will shed individuals for the greater good. They'll even lose a chamber for once in a generation achievement, like Nancy Pelosi did in 2010 with Obamacare. And our side is like an open mic night at a comedy club where everyone's off on their own. And that's even the benign way to view it. When you view what's going on here with Mike Gallagher, with Ken Buck, unfortunately, possibly I'm worried with some other members, it's almost like they are not happy. They don't want to be, they're not really conservatives. They just play one on TV. And whenever we get close to conservative policies or conservative victories, they want to shed their leadership role as quickly as possible because they just want to go back to being in the minority or not even being in office at all. The Republican Party needs to become a conservative party, period. We don't have room for this crap. We really just need people who will be conservative at every step of the way and who won't throw the party under the bus. Like you said, it's not just that he's retiring or resigning, Brianna. He's resigning on the day that prevents there from being a runoff election before the 2024 general election in November. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, it is. And you have to assume it's intentional. I mean, I've been a critic of that TikTok ban legislation that they want to push forward. Now, the reason why I bring that up is Michael Gallagher is the chairman of the subcommittee on the CCP, pretty much. And so this was one of his babies. He pushed this all the way through and it passed in the House. But I've been critical of that for several reasons. Number one, we all know our government is just looking to take this TikTok gift out of the hands of the CCP, which they use to surveil Americans with, obviously. But they want it for themselves. That's what I believe, honestly. But he pushed this through. And Now he's leaving right before this is going to make its way through the Senate, and then Joe Biden is probably going to sign this into law because he said he would. Are you concerned that there might be a pairing between the two? There might be something there between that?
Well, that's a good question, Brianna. I hadn't thought about that. I have mixed feelings about that TikTok ban. I know there are a lot of people who are worried about the government's role here in pushing TikTok into the hands of a private sector buy-off. But I keep coming back to the fact that that bill is probably at least mostly good when you consider that TikTok is it's essentially a foreign enemy's surveillance system disguised as a social media platform. But I can see both sides. I don't know. It's really kind of telling to me, though, that supposedly he promised he would represent the people of the Wisconsin 8th, but he's not going to be doing so. And he's not going to be doing so after pushing something like this through the gates of the committee to get it to the floor. So I don't know. It's a good question. Someone should ask him that question. I feel the people who are losing the most here, Brianna, are the poor folks in Wisconsin who elected him thinking he would represent them. And it's really a shame what's going on. Maybe they should expel him. I mean, heck, they like to expel Republicans, so why not? They don't want to expel Rashida Tlaib, who's too busy running money for Hezbollah in Michigan. So maybe we can expel another Republican.
Yeah. And I'm sure there would be those on the left who wouldn't vote for that because I do want to see Gallagher get his way. It's disturbing, though. I continue to watch this. And like you said, so Gallagher is somebody who I actually reached out to several times. So I reached out to his office when he announced he was going to the World Economic Forum in Davos about a year ago. And I reached out just saying, why would you be going there? Are you planning on pushing back against everything that the World Economic Forum stands for? And his team didn't respond, but then he didn't respond when I personally texted him, of course. And then just a couple of hours after that, we got a letter, or I guess a press release, that said he was no longer going. And his staffers did tell me that he's just focused on all of his work over at the subcommittee. So it was interesting to see him change quickly. He's either a pushover at this point, or he's just someone who's flip-flopping around these days. And I'm concerned. Marjorie Taylor Greene, though, she is going to make efforts to get him expelled. I think that's amazing. I think that'd be great to do. But do you think that Republicans are going to be able to pull this one off?
Well, my understanding is that only one vote is required to push it to the floor, assuming it's the same as the rule for the speaker was used last fall. And I don't know. I suspect you won't get a majority of votes to remove him. But that would be telling, actually, of how broken the Republican Party really is, in that they will trip over themselves to throw a guy out of the chamber who hasn't been convicted of a crime and was already not running for reelection, George Santos. But they would actually literally indulge keeping a guy on who's like, screw you, Wisconsin, screw you, America. I'm leaving on the day that prevents you from representing, having representation in Washington, and from possibly putting us one vote closer to having Hakeem Jeffries be speaker. So I'm cheers to Ms. Green for doing it. I hope she does it. I hope it happens, and I hope the Republicans who don't vote to throw them out are embarrassed.
Yeah. They're forfeiting their majority, and I think that's the disturbing part in all of this. But let's go over to another person that you and I could agree on, possibly, that we don't like, Ronna McDaniel, the former RNC woman, spokeswoman, chairwoman, I guess I should say. Sorry about that. Is now parting ways. Obviously, we spoke about this. RNC tossed her. Now she's with NBC. But folks, don't get too excited, because there's reports right now circulating online that she's about to get tossed from NBC, and she's actually hiring attorneys because, well, they're going to let her go. Now, MSNBC and the liberal hacks over at that network had a complete meltdown when they found out that Ronna was now a member of their team. But don't take my word for it. We've got the proof. Let's take a listen.
She is also, as of last week, a very, very well-paid contributor to NBC News, something that has alarmed many of us in this company, because Ronna McDaniel has been a major peddler of the...
In this instance, NBC News, either wittingly or unwittingly, is teaching election deniers that what they can do stretches well beyond appearing on our air in interviews to peddle lies about the sanctity and integrity of our elections, which...
Look. This isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about red versus blue. This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system. That is the type of experience that Ronna McDaniel brings to the table. And that experience does not get us to a deeper understanding of anything in the public
Dive
debate.
Right in. What were your takeaways?
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology.
for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? Once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting.
We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe.
John, I enjoyed that. I don't know whose side has taken all of this, though. What do you think of all of it?
Yeah, Brianna, fiction can be fun. I got to tell you, listening to that lineup, it's a reminder that NBC really stands for nothing but communists. And Mika's throwaway about how we like conservative voices is absolute garbage, as we all know. They would fall down and die if they had opposition on any front. Look, I'm no fan of Rana. You and I have talked about this before. She was a horrendous chair of the RNC. She had essentially, with the exception of basically barely getting hold of the House in 2022, had a terrible record, loss after loss after loss. I know for a fact, too, as everyone who was paying attention during 2020, she made a big deal. This was, as far as I'm concerned, more egregious than just not being good at your job. She was lobbying the public to make more money, get more donations to tackle election fraud in 2020, and the RNC pocketed a lot of that money, and very little of that money went to the fight. So, you know, and she spent a lot of money on flowers, food, and facelifts with very few results. That said, Rana has the right, if NBC wants to hire her, to work for NBC or any other network. In fact, they'd be lucky to have her, because at least it'd be a voice that's not a clone leftist voice on these networks. So it's just telling to me, though, that they can't stand it. One other thing, Brianna, I think that, you know, that everyone on our side is fighting with the left about the election, and the left loves to say so-and-so is an election denier. To me, the vitriol against anyone who has concerns about 2020 is just another layer of proof that what happened in 2020 was not on the up and up. Because I've always thought, if you really think someone's wrong, let them be wrong. Let them just babble and prove themselves wrong. They can't possibly deal with Rana being on a panel with them, because she'd say, no, you're wrong. Here's what we saw. And they don't want that. They need the narrative that everyone's lying and we're all fraudsters and we should all be ignored. That's what it's about.
Yeah, John, they just can't seem to handle a difference in opinion. And we know that, though, with these folks. They just don't like it at all. And, well, I mean, I'm not on either side at this point. I'm not a fan of Rana, but I also don't like the liberal hacks over at MSNBC. So I'm torn on this issue, obviously. But
yeah, Brianna,
like you said,
it's like they said about Donald Rumsfeld said about the Iran-Iraq war. It's a shame they can't both lose. And that's kind of how I feel about it.
No, that's actually a perfect way of phrasing it. Yeah. I mean, listen, if you don't like what she has to say, whatever, just get on her, have her on your show and debate her, embarrass her. Why not? Like, that's, if you really have the best ideas, you can embarrass her by debating her. But again, like you mentioned, they don't have the best ideas. They can't win the arguments factually. So they'd rather just go after her and say that she can't come on and do these types of like little whimsy attacks. So it's going to be interesting seeing it play out. So far, the reports do suggest that Rana is looking to lawyer up and go after NBC for all of this, because she knows they're cutting ties with her. So we shall see. John, thank you for joining us. We always appreciate it. The good folks over at Predator Poachers are at it again. We're going to play you their latest bust, but I have to warn our audience that it is a
What year is it?
It's an 09.
Okay, not bad.
But see, it's still in pretty good condition. You want to look underneath the hood?
Oh, yeah, I trust it. I got this here for you. It's about some groups on Signal we should probably go over, okay? I just want to have a conversation with you. Okay. I understand, like, you know, you're on the registry, but I just want to talk to you.
Okay.
I know you're a good dude. I know you're trying to get your life on track. I just want to have a conversation about it, okay? Just about some online groups, all right?
Okay.
Okay. How do these groups kind of start, man?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, somebody told me about them. I went to them, and then I kind of got out of them because I saw what they were doing. I thought it was just regular, you know, like porn.
I know. I'm a single father.
I didn't realize what it was, so I got out of it.
What were the age ranges that these people were posting?
Everything.
Like, we're talking babies on up?
Everything, yeah. And I got out of that shit.
So I want to ask about this group, and that's why I kind of asked about the young stuff. So there was a group here called Babies Only. Babies Only.
I mean,
if you live in San Angelo, you should know what babies means.
Yeah.
But there's a group called Babies Only, and, you know.
Yeah, that's. I got out of that shit.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even realize what it was until it came on there. I was thinking babies. I was thinking like maybe like a hot mama baby, not a baby.
Okay.
Like it's a man sometimes. It might be a boy sometimes.
Like a boy doing shit to a baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's bad shit.
I know. And you know, if I didn't think you thought it was bad, I wouldn't be here asking you about it, okay?
Yeah.
So, what's the typical, like, have you seen any moms doing it to babies?
There was on there. I'm not going to lie. I did scroll down
and see that. What was the mom doing?
Doing, like, sexual stuff to the baby.
Okay. Like, are we talking scissoring or licking or
what? Everything like that. Anything and everything.
So, every sex act you can think of was happening to babies in that group.
Yeah.
What the
That's a bad group. Yeah. It's a bad fucking group.
For sure.
I'm bored and I get on there because I don't have nothing to do and I'm home for work and then I just start getting on there and then no, I don't get my rocks off to that.
Okay. So, what's the point of looking?
Well, it's just, I don't even think I can get my rocks off anymore. That's the point. I mean, I'm 45. I don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, it just kind of reminds me of the good old days, I guess, when I was back in high school and stuff. And it just kind of takes me back.
Well, what made you watch videos of babies, though?
But it wasn't like little babies, though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was like, I think the youngest was like 12 or 13.
Okay. What brings you to that?
I don't know. Sometimes you can't even tell how old they are.
But how do you know they're 12 or 13?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You can't tell.
They just looked like 12 or 13?
Yeah, they looked, I guess. I don't know.
Right. But if you kind of know what's happening to little babies in the videos.
You shouldn't be watching it. I know that. You should.
Now, interesting enough, that actually took place in Texas. And the individual that you saw on your screen is actually a convicted sex offender recommitting again, it looks like. Now, allegedly, this individual might have had child pornography on their devices. It's so disturbing, but it's no surprise. But there is a little twist to the story, and that's why I want to bring in Alex Rosen to discuss. He's the man you saw in that video. Alex, thank you for joining us. Listen, when I saw that clip, I obviously was disgusted. We're talking about infants as the victims in all of this. But you mentioned something that was really important. I want you to detail it for our audience, and it's in regards to he's a convicted sex offender previously, but there's a federal agency that has access to his device. Is that correct?
But it was in San Angelo, Texas. We confront the sex offender under the premise of me buying his truck from him. And that's what kind of brought him to the house. And then that's when I approached him about some stuff he was doing online. And he ends up coughing up to watching pornography as young as infants. He got off probation in 2005 from the registry. And then a few years after that is when he told me that he started watching child porn. You know, so he's been back into this reoffending for probably a decade at this point. So, the cops come. He ends up admitting everything in front of the cops. And then he looks at me and says, oh, I'm going to jail for the rest of my life. Thanks so much. And then the cops don't take his phone, which is pretty puzzling, being that a sex offender was admitting to possessing child porn on his phone. But the cops kind of pull me to the side and say, well, DHS is tapping his phone. So we'll see how true that is. I hope that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. So he wasn't arrested after this interaction?
He has not been arrested yet, even though I think it should be a pretty big slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. He pretty much details everything for you. And, you know, none of us, I've never stumbled upon a group chat where child pornography was being sent around on Signal. So to sit there and play innocent is pretty disturbing in itself. But, you know, you do great work. You're recently in Tucson, Arizona as well. And, well, the police didn't come. Let's take a listen to how that played out.
We're still waiting on an officer, and we called 3 hours ago.
And your name, sir?
It's Alex Rosen, A-L-E-X. Last name's R-O-S-E-N.
I do see the call here. Please, I do apologize for the delay. We are trying to get an officer freed up from the 911 emergency to get out to you.
Yeah, but it's been like 3 hours. Do y'all like not take this seriously, or?
No, sir. Your call is in place. Like I said, the officer does take it serious. If they're dealing with other 911 emergencies, like shooting, stabbings, robbing, stuff like that.
Yeah, but is there like Yeah, but I don't think there's like 3 hours straight of just shooting, stabbings, and robbings like continuously for three straight hours with no pauses in between.
Well, also Tucson police themselves, all of their officers are busy. They're out handling other 911 calls.
No, I mean, you know, that's, yeah, I understand that part, but I don't think every single call they're handling is like some like urgent situation. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Unless there's like 3 hours continuously of like just complete violence and chaos. I mean, I don't really see that happening here, so.
Well, your call isn't the only call in place here in the city of Tucson.
Oh, no, I understand that. I mean, I understand that for the first like 2 hours, but not the, I mean, the third hour, it's kind of like, I mean, come on, man.
So would you like to add anything new into your call, sir?
I would like to add some officers on the scene.
Okay, so Tucson police didn't make the arrest. You sat there and you waited up to 4 hours, I believe it was, Alex, for the sheriff's office to come and make the arrest. What was really happening?
Yeah, so we caught this guy in Tucson PD jurisdiction. And, you know, literally for 4 hours, Tucson police didn't respond. They claimed they were busy, even though one of my friends was kind of driving around, I think getting a water or something. And he saw like three Tucson cop cruisers just not doing anything. Very, very strange. I mean, we get better police response time in the biggest cities in the country. And Tucson's been by far the worst. So eventually, like, the predator himself even calls the cops on himself twice and is like, can y'all just come arrest me already? And the cops still didn't show up. So eventually he calls again and they're like, well, you can just turn yourself into the jail. So we go to where the jail is and, you know, obviously that couldn't happen. You couldn't just walk into the jail and be arrested. So we ended up calling the sheriff's office and luckily, we saw that where the predator was living, because we didn't catch him at his place. We caught him like out on the street. Where he was living actually was in the sheriff's jurisdiction. So luckily the sheriffs could take it over, respond to the call and arrest him.
It's just disgusting. I mean, it's as if they don't take it seriously. And I know when I saw you post about it, I actually reached out to the police department, Tucson Police Department, to get some answers here. And this is what they told us. We actually have the statement right now on your screen. They emailed us back and I said, does the Tucson PD dispute the claims that you've made publicly? And they said, we understand that, you know, it took several hours in response to this call. We take this matter very seriously and we're looking into the cause. So that's kind of refreshing. Then I go on to asking them, is this due to staffing shortages? Because I know after 2020, a lot of police departments do have staffing shortages.
They say
currently we are not fully staffed. We are hiring all year round. And then I asked them again if they take sex crimes seriously and they assured me that they do. So we'll see how this plays out. I mean, I don't think it's fair that they had you sitting there waiting. I thought it was strange that the suspect even called himself in. But, you know, that's the kind of guy you are, Alex. Guys like you. Even the worst, even these pedophiles, they're like sitting here. They're like, all right, I'll wait with you. You're just such a lovely person to be around. They're like, all right, we'll hang out for 5 hours.
I mean, I was probably his best friend, like the best person he's ever talked to, like the past 10 years of his life. So, I mean, why not?
Oh man. Listen, Alex, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing because we need people like you doing this. Sadly, I don't think law enforcement really takes it seriously. So we're going to put the donation page up right now on your screen. Folks, if you guys could go and support him any way possible, this is the best way to do so. Predator Poacher, this is their website. You can go on Locals right now. So it's predatorpoachers.locals.com/support. We'll put it also in the link below as well. They could greatly appreciate any donation you guys could bring forward. So thank you, Alex, for joining us. I know you're busy. I know you got a lot more to do today. So we appreciate you talking to us while you're on the road.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
Just finished unpacking my latest MyPillow order, and guys, it is incredible. I just stocked up on the new MyPillow 2.0 line, and let me tell you something, when it's the MyPillow I'm using 2.0, or if it's the Giza bed sheets, I'm sleeping like a baby these days. And it's just not my sleep that's improving. Gia and Giuseppe, their sleep's improving on the MyPillow dog beds. They are loving them. I literally can't get Gia off of it because she's obsessed with it. My best friend Allie, I gifted her the new MyPillow slippers, and she can't take them off her feet these days. She says it feels like she's walking on clouds, especially after working in heels all day long. So if you're interested in improving the quality of life right now, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com. And if you want to secure up to 66% off, make sure you type in Brianna. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. You gotta head there now. They're going to sell out quickly. And you got to get your hands on these new products. Chick-fil-A is truly becoming a major disappointment. The company just announced that they're no longer going to be serving no antibiotic chickens. That means no antibiotics for their chicken. That was their commitment. They're backtracking now, of course, and they are no longer committing to that. Now, if you're wondering what they're actually going to be replacing it with, it's actually a very, very interesting name. It's no antibiotics important to human medicine. Chicken. Yeah, it's just very confusing. So the changeover is going to happen in the spring. And well, this is what they are doing. And it's really unfortunate because a lot of us, we really do enjoy their products. So again, folks, it's not something we're looking forward to. Let's bring in someone who knows a lot about the farming industry, JD Rucker. He is the co-founder of BriannaMeat.com. JD, thank you for joining us. I knew to call you when I saw this announcement because, well, you guys don't use antibiotics and you're not backtracking from that anytime soon. So what's your reaction, of course, to Chick-fil-A now backtracking?
I mean, I do. Look, I know Chick-fil-A very well. As you can tell, I'm a Chick-fil-A fan, or I have been over the years. But I want to be clear about something. This is not their fault. This isn't like, oh, corporate greed, or, oh, this is a business decision that they were forced into. So basically the difference between what their prior commitment and their commitment now is, before they were saying no antibiotics, no, no, no. Now they're saying no antibiotics that could affect humans, which is to say that we are going to get chickens that have antibiotics in them as long as they're not human-based antibiotics. It's a distinction, but I want to be clear that this is, they don't have a choice. Okay. It's either like their thing is eat more beef. I think that's their slogan or something like that. They would have to change their slogan to eat less chicken because they couldn't get it. This is an attack against our food industry, and especially against proteins like chicken and like beef. They're having a hard time being able to sustain all of their restaurants by putting the very strict and narrow limitations. So they're expanding it out. I'm not defending them, by the way. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not defending them. I'm just saying that I can understand why they're doing it, because it's either that or have less chicken or charge people more for the chicken. So it is what it is. Take from it what you will. I'm still going to eat there, just a lot less. And I eat a lot less.
Listen, I love their chicken products. I mean, I love their spicy chicken sandwich. It's one of my favorites. Again, it's not good for you at all, but it's amazing. And I wanted to also mention to our audience, last year, I mean, it's kind of like, it feels like something's happening over there, because last year they came out and they said that they were now going to be like well, it was discovered that they were partaking in DEI hiring practices too. So, you know, I joke now they're doing that with their chickens at this point. But like you mentioned, it's really just an issue right now with the kind of chickens that are available for them. They mentioned that too. It's really hard for them to source these specific no antibiotic chickens. And so that's why they're having to flex. I mean, I guess at least they're being honest here and being transparent with their customer base. Are you concerned, though, the quality of chicken at Chick-fil-A is going to go down or be affected in any such way?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, this is so the chickens. That's why I say when I say I'm going to eat less, keep in mind, I joke. I say, oh, I eat a lot of Chick-fil-A chicken. In reality, I think I've eaten Chick-fil-A maybe twice in the last 3 or 4 years. I like them. I like the company. But, you know, I don't like fast food in general, even the good guys like Chick-fil-A. But with that said, no, I probably won't eat it anymore. And it is a concern. Okay, because yeah. Once you start, look, folks, sourcing your food is the most important thing you could do outside of reading your Bible as far as it comes to being ready, being prepared, living a good life, and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Source your food no matter what. And as you know, that we're not going to do that. We have that luxury. I wish I could brag and say, well, we're never going to have antibiotics because we are just too high standards. That's true, but the reality is we just don't serve, you know, 8 billion or 8 million people a day. We serve, you know, Brianna Meats. If people go there, you're going to be one of our awesome, amazing customers, and we'll probably know you by name. I might actually call you. If you go to BriannaMeat.com right now and buy something and use promo code BRI25 to get 25% off, if you put on your phone number, I'm probably going to say, hey, it's JD. I just wanted to say that, that you're awesome. I probably won't actually do that, but I could, because that's how we are. We have been watching for instances like this. Okay. It's not just about, having access to the food. It's also about, regulations. So just put it in perspective, we're currently 100% Texas raised beef, Texas raised cattle, born and raised. Our cattle, all of them were born in Texas. They eat Texas grass. They don't leave Texas until after we have slaughtered them, put them into bags, and sent them to you, which I know is an awful visual, but just bear with me on this. But just in case, we know that down the line, whether it's next year, the year after that, maybe even this year, at some point, Texas and most other states are going to embrace some sort of regulations that will require injections, including mRNA injections. They're already talking about that with the omnibus right now. Okay, yeah. So what are we doing? We're looking to Idaho. We're looking at Utah. We're looking at we're getting ready to run. We're already getting ready to make connections with people so that our small and amazing operation can keep going for as long as possible. We know that at some point they're going to make us. They're going to say, nope, no beef in America that hasn't been injected. In which case we'll say, okay, no beef from us, because we're not going to send out beef that has been injected by mRNA vaccines or anything like that. Until that day comes, we're just going to keep running around looking for beef alternative, or not beef alternatives, alternative beef sources.
Yeah, careful.
Not beef alternatives, no bugs.
Sorry, JD, we lost our signal. Gotta go. no, and that's what's so important, honestly, because Americans are really getting concerned, and I'm concerned all the time about these issues. I mean, I didn't realize that they're using mRNA vaccines on pork products, pigs, obviously. It's 2018. And I learned this maybe about a year ago, and that's why I've stopped eating pork products, because now I lost my job over the jab. I'm definitely not going to sit there and foolishly eat the food that also took the jab and put it into my body. You got to be smarter. We know there's so many different health concerns growing about these issues. And if you know anything too, Dr. Naomi Wolf has done extensive coverage over it. She says that it gets transferred to you. So that's why we stay far away from that. But I want to talk about your products because we have a video coming out very, very soon. But it was amazing. I actually, as the audience will see, got your shipment in, and I rehydrated the beef with beef stock beef broth. And it was amazing. You had no idea that this was product that was meant to survive in my closet for 25 years. So I want to jump back into that. You have so many cuts of meat on your website right now, filet, tenderloin, New York strip, and it can last up to 25 years in your closet, which means, and wherever else I want to store it, but I keep saying closet because that's where I put mine. So let's talk about that, because I think that's really important, and why Americans should be slowly building up a stockpile of products just like yours.
Well, they should be stockpiling however they can. There's going to be people. Look, you had, I think it was either last week or the week before, you had a couple of your viewers. One of them bought 20 bags. One of them bought 30 bags all at once. We had somebody else who bought 4 bags on a monthly subscription. In other words, they got they got the variety pack. And so they're getting one of each of the 4 bags every month. They're signed up for, and they can cancel any time, but hopefully, you know, they're going to stock up and get, you know, let's say, I don't know, 2 years worth. Okay. Yeah. And that's a good number. That should be what we shoot for. I'm not telling people, hey, just keep getting beef indefinitely, unless you're using it. Now, we do have a lot of people. We have one lady that sends us her recipes. One lady in particular who she sends us new recipes every month. And she always, anyway. Sorry, I digress.
Wow, that's awesome. Point is that
yes, you can you can subscribe. And if you do subscribe, and a lot of people are now, they get an additional 10% off. So if they go to briannameat.com, they use promo code BRE25, then they get 25% off. But if they then also subscribe to have monthly auto shipment, then they get an additional 10% off. So that's 35% off that they can get by going to briannameat.com and using promo code BRE25.
And that's a great, great offer that you have right now for our audience. So that's what you guys get just for listening right now. So we're so thankful for that. I wanted to mention too, so I rehydrated the beef myself. And all I did honestly was just throw some soy sauce over it and kind of mix that up. And it was amazing. It didn't really take much time to rehydrate either. And after, and we'll have the video, it's coming out soon. We're making like a little social media clip for you guys. It was great. And you wouldn't honestly even know the difference. It tasted like I just cooked it up myself. And so you guys, right now, there's no better time to go over right now to briannameat.com, and I'll tell you why. Right now, these prices do not reflect the inflation prices under Joe Biden. That's the first good thing. Second good thing is this promo code where you got this 25% off is for a limited time only. It's because they're doing a changeover in branding. And so right now you're getting that 25% off. Plus, like he mentioned, if you pair the 25% off with a 10% off for subscribing, that's 35% off. That's crazy. But then it doesn't end there. You're also donating 10% of proceeds to a veteran foundation, which is amazing. And you're also throwing in free shipping. I mean, JD, I don't know how you guys are doing this, but it's such a great offer that everyone needs to take advantage of it now.
I'm sorry. Don't forget. And then I'll call you also. I'll call you and say thank you.
I know. We could split the list if you want. You could call the first half and I'll call the bottom half. We can make the rounds. Because I know you're a busy person these days. So you don't know. Maybe you'll get a phone call from one of us.
Nice. We're both of us. We could do like a group chat and say, hey, Sam, how you doing?
We see you're who's stocking this? Up.
Oh, it's JD and Brianna. It's like, who?
It won't be like the ATF knocking on you. The ATF knocking on your door like, hey, you just bought a bunch of ammo. What are you doing? What are you doing, Jason?
I like so much beef.
We highly encourage our audience, because I'm doing it myself. I got to tell you, I got a little stash in my closet, but I won't tell you too much details. But I'm doing it myself. I recommend our audience building up their stash right now. So head over to briannameat.com and secure up to 25% off with BRE25. That's BRE25. It's always a pleasure, JD. Thank you for joining us. Well, I'm not the first person who's told you this. I know that for a fact, but we're on our way into a retirement crisis. And it's because, well, Social Security is drying up. And well, there's not enough people who are working right now to kind of support what the demand is. But don't take my word for it, of course, because I'm no economic expert. BlackRock, one of their executives, Larry Fink. Now, this isn't somebody who I would normally cite, of course. We all know who BlackRock is. But he also believes the same thing. And it's pretty much just warning folks that, yeah, this is a potential and we need to start saving up. Ultimately, he says, telling investors pension savings failing to keep pace with the life-extending medical breakthroughs. So... that sounds horrible when you say it out loud. Let's bring in an expert who knows a thing or two about all of this, Dr. Kirk Elliott. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you for joining us. So I wouldn't normally cite Larry Fink, and obviously he's pretty upset that the human lives are kind of leading past expectations. And so he thinks that's an issue for retirement, which is something I normally wouldn't cite. But just based on right now, how our economy is set up, and how our treasury is set up. We're expected to see that Social Security will eventually dry up. So what are you making of all of this?
So, I mean, Larry Fink is a smart guy, you know, he's head of BlackRock. We do listen to what he says. We don't have to agree with his politics, right? But what is he saying? He's saying that retirement's going to dry up. Why is he saying that? Because he wants to say, see, I told you so. I was ahead of the curve. I'm right. I'm a smart guy. Because he knows it's coming too, right? And so here's the problem with the West, not just America, but Western civilization, is we have a declining birth rate. Yeah. Meaning our fertility rate's less than 2.0. So at 2.0, what does that mean? It means mommy and daddy have two kids. So when mommy and daddy die, if the fertility rate's 2.0, you replaced yourselves with two kids. So if it's north of 2.0, society's growing. If it's less than 2.0, society's shrinking. So all of Western civilization is pretty much less than 2.0. China's actually the worst. It's not westernized, but China's had one kid policy forever, right? So now you've got this graying of America, the baby boomers that Larry Fink is talking about, they're going into retirement. So normally this is like game, right? You've got people working, entering into the system, paying for the benefits of those that have retired. But over time, that is a system that's destined to fail. It's actually doomed. Because ultimately, every year that goes on, you're going to have more people in retirement, fewer people working to pay into the system. It's destined for failure because they simply just run out of money. This is where we are, especially with a declining fertility rate. And math is not on our side on this one. The odds are not. So if I were to tell you, Brianna, hey, you going to Vegas? Yeah, I'm going to Vegas. 100% chance you lose all of your money. 100% chance. What are you going to do? It's like, unless you're just going for the entertainment value, you're going to lose money and you know it and you've accepted that fact. See, 100% of the time, once a country goes below 2.0 in fertility rate, they never recover. So we're not going to recover from this. So the analytics that are now coming out is abysmal. Social Security and Medicare are $175 trillion with a T underfunded. $175 trillion. See, our national debt that went from zero to where we are today. Well, actually, let's just look at it from 1776 until 1980, 204 years, we went from zero to $1 trillion. What was Biden's budget last year? Well, we lost $1.7 trillion last year. That was the budget deficit. This year, the budget for 2024, $7.3 trillion in spending. We're probably going to lose $3 trillion. It's like, who in their right mind would sign something so stupid? Yeah. It's like, yeah, we'll sign it, even though we're going to lose $3 trillion. Because they have a printing press. Because they have a printing press, they think they can print their way out of it in time. They've been right, because we're the world's reserve currency. But we lost that status. We aren't the world's reserve currency now with the BRICS nations. So every time we spend money, it's going to create more inflation. Every time we create more inflation, it puts America one step back because people can't afford it. So these numbers, $175 trillion, Social Security and Medicare, they're not going to recover from that ever. There's not enough money, not enough time to recover from that, because it's like five times the entire national debt. So now what? Well, I wouldn't have too much money in the bank. I would not think for a second and rely on Social Security for my income in retirement. You should take matters into your own hands and start investing accordingly to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think most Americans need to understand that, because that's really important. You know, last week you and I spoke regarding similar topics regarding all of that. And we talk about different avenues that Americans can take to make those investments. So I want to get back to that discussion because I think it's important. We're constantly talking about precious metals and how important those are to invest in, because, well, silver right now is it's a safer investment than most. So I just want to hear you detail that for our audience. I think that's really important to bring their attention to that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if we're in gold or silver. I just want to be in the one that's outperforming and doing better, where you can minimize your risk and maximize your return. In the past, that's been gold. You know, since the year 2002, when I started allocating into metals, there's been two long chunks of time, where we've been in gold. There's been a couple long chunks of time where we've been in silver. Right now is one of those times, because the ratio, the historical ratio between gold and silver is near an all-time high. It's like 90 to 1, which historically it's been 20 to 1. So what that means is, at 90 to 1, without knowing anything, either gold is overvalued or silver is undervalued. Well, how do you know if gold is overvalued? What causes it to grow? Unsustainable debt, political chaos, geopolitical conflict, inflation. Man, we have all of that. We have all of that, Brianna. So gold is not overvalued. It's going to continue to grow, which means that ratio, silver's got catch up to do. It's going to catch up. It's going to outperform. That's why we're allocated into silver, because as it continues to outperform, we sell it down the road, and I can get you more ounces of gold for free than what we could have purchased for you today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important for folks to understand right now. And this is a service that you do offer, and you're here to talk to our audience specifically about that. So if you're at home right now wondering how you could kind of protect yourself from this retirement crisis that's looming, you guys can head over to briannagold.com. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A gold.com right now. You guys, it's so simple to do. I've done it myself. So all you do is you enter in your contact information. Somebody from Dr. Kirk Elliott's team will call you to schedule an appointment. And then you have an appointment over the phone. There's no commitment to it. It's just basically going over your goals, your retirement goals, and how they could help prepare you for just that. And it was just so enlightening to do, because a lot of us are stressed out these days with everything going on. So it definitely gives you a peace of mind. So again, folks, it's briannagold.com. Head over there right now. Don't wait. It's so easy to do. Just enter in your information and then they'll reach out to you. Dr. Kirk Elliott, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, because I know there's so much going on right now in the economy, and you help simplify it for us so we can understand it. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.